Blog Talk Radio.
By the way,
one day na wakateka wakamba, Pilato na wakateka, alewe pushama kwezon wakamba. Pilato! Oke muli haipa waneta muli wino, tuika de tondoro, buse di casino. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. Tata wa sata, nitisha lufyanya, titi mkulu sosala. Tuwa salo, kafwe babemba, ifecha mfumu wesu, atuka muma pepala. Lekeni ndipusheko, au ba polisi, lekeni ndipusheko. Ala tata wa sata, kwena na mutinja, mutiri mula landa, bemba nolo nyanja. Hili achita mafunde, liena lilishani, mulefu nyalu isako sitishani. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. Hili ashija kabunga, mwaleti kakawela. Nomba twalitambo atikalila Pamela. Use wakateka, ngabwaila mula tamba TV. Atimuti wa shota uwa HIV. Babululu wesu walipa 5. Usevena kutiva chita sa 5. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. Chacha wa sacha, yose pa mulungu mwalea na kucheti. Tuale mfalako kumimona mupenti. Chacha wa sacha, lekeni ndipusheko. Aho muinti kata lekeni ndipusheko. Imwe wakateka, fionse ni mahala. Nga salari enu muhivo mfya kunshi. Chacha wa sacha, nga ya marishafo. Nama firing, kwa timuri na rifle. Kuseyara tuafuwa na angula iyo. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. One day na wakateka, face to face, Pilato na kateka. Chacha wa sacha, mumane mumatumba. Useni patalo nangu ni kumulu. One day, one week, one month, one year na wakateka. One day, one week, one month, one year na wakateka. Uwi pusha tata kwena taruba. Amaloni mule fokate kaloba. Umule mbwe wachifuba upira muli tumfwe. Twa kulomba tata so tumfwe. Tata wasa tabusemu mfashani. Education minister, abana bakwe basoma kuba sungu. Nangu health minister, enanga alwala butukira ku India. Tata wasa tabusemu na belenga na paochi dogi. Aho balalemba tata so tambe. Aho chachine mwe uteko twamba kwefu no kwamba kwefu. Kairi mfwe mfwe wapiratu. Otherwise if it's a bit of a lack of move, take a quiz, some other little Richard Coven to come wiser. I didn't want to have a
boat.
Good morning and welcome to Zanga Blog Talk Radio. We apologize for that prolonged play of the song. It's due to a situation that I'm having here. Yesterday, the United States of America dedicated the 9/11 memorial, and it was a symbol of things that happened 9/11/2001. It is based on that I'm going to base my discussion on things that have been happening around the world, especially particularly relating to the issue of the abduction of girls in Nigeria and all the uproar that has come up. But there's one aspect that I really want us to focus on this morning from that perspective, and this is where a challenge has been raised to say, America's President Barack Obama took 3 weeks or 22 days to respond or make a statement on this. That is a troubling statement. Welcome to Zanga Blog Talk Radio on this special 5th anniversary. And we thank you for joining us. We appreciate you all for the support that you've given us over the years. And we look forward to a great discussion this morning. Roger, this discussion needs to begin from the point of view that we need to understand one thing here, that this is where I'm coming from. And all of us need to focus ourselves and see where we are going to go with issues particularly to do with Africa. My question is, information showing out there, and it's in public domain, International Monetary Fund, World Bank have classified Egypt, Nigeria, and South Africa as the three largest economies in Africa. My concern and my question is, why are we looking to America and not not looking to our fellow African countries? Dr. Patrick, I would like you to respond to that question first of all. To what extent can America respond or participate in all these crises that go on in the world?
Well, let me begin by responding to your first statement. Why did it take President Obama so long to respond to the Boko Haram incident, kidnapping in northern Nigeria? As every government, you're keenly aware that President Obama is attacked for being a dictator, and then he's attacked for being too weak. One thing that's very important in the international arena is that every country is a sovereign country. No. So you can't respond to every incident unless that country's leaders invite you to respond.
Exactly.
President Jonathan Goodluck did not invite the United States and President Obama to intervene until 3 weeks later, until recently. So you can't just go into a country and say, I'm going to find those girls, because you can't, because that's someone else's sovereign country. You cannot do that. So that's one of the major reasons why President Obama did not intervene until he was asked. Secondly, on the other point is looking towards America. Many countries, including the EU, including Russia, many countries look towards the United States for one major, major reason. The United States has the money. The United States has control of the money. You have the World Bank, you have the IMF, you have the national and international credit cards. You have the biggest capitalist investors in the United States. And in order to make your industry, in order to make your political, in order to make your social engines run in your respective countries, you have to have the money. And where do you go to get the money? At this particular time, the leading country is the United States. So if you want something done, where do you go? You go to Wall Street. Where's Wall Street? In the United States.
This is the way I'm thinking and I'm looking at things, okay? Roger, I want you to respond to this. Okay, this is not particular about Zambia alone, Africa in general. I want us to look at this from the Africa perspective or point of view, Dr. Patrick, Roger, everybody who is on the forum. There is a report in the media, in the new online media, the police went into a radio station, is it Kasempa or somewhere in rural Zambia. After 9/11, Roger, I want you to respond to this. After 9/11, honestly, the African countries don't seem to have done anything about this, Dr. Patrick. After September 9/11 terrorist attacks on America, nobody seemed to have done anything except probably the Western country. What is wrong with that picture, Roger?
Everything is wrong, Nathan. Considering what is happening in Kenya right now, there's been two terrorist attacks to date. We still have places like Somalia. We covered on this radio one time how we, as a people, as a nation, as a continent, we have said Somalia is not our problem. And yet, some of the people who are coming, who are doing all these things, they emanate this kind of thinking from somewhere. And they could be originating from places like Somalia. They are emanating from places like Afghanistan. So when we try to imagine or we want to pretend that these things don't affect us, this is the way you see even the behavior in Zambia. I am a proponent of rural Zambia, and I'll always be. And I hope one day I can have a role to play to help my own country develop rural Zambia. Why am I saying so? What is happening today, say in northwestern province, producing
yes.
a lot of copper, a lot of things, and yet the people of northwestern province are not seeing the benefits of copper. If one day one person like Boko Haram will go to northwestern province and tell them it's time for us to begin to fight for what belongs to us, believe you me, the people of northwestern province will follow that person. That is the danger which we have in any other district, in any other province, where we see our leaders. We may criticize in the Bisamoyo for saying what probably she said. But one of the lines I read there, African countries are one of the poorest in the world. And yes, we have one of the biggest cabinet sizes. In size in the world. That does not balance. So how do we change this scenario? How? That's a big question, Nathan. You are asking. Do we learn anything? No, we don't. Should it?
You are raising a very important point, Roger, about the size of our cabinet across Africa. And you see, I went on different websites trying to look at the structure of the Nigerian government, our own Zambian government, the Kenyan government, and all these countries. My other panelists, I asked a few people to join us here. Priscilla, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. It's important that we get a lady's voice here. We have Mrs. Lucas here, we have Clotilda here, Namunji. You ladies, if you want to say anything, please just press 1 on your keyboard so that I know what you want to say. My question, Priscilla, is that, are we concerned about security in our countries? I don't seem to get that picture.
Well, Nathan, it's very interesting you asked that question because I woke up this morning to very sad reporting on CNN where they were saying that imagine the entire government of Nigeria, the entire military wing of Nigeria is intimidated by Boko Haram. They've been overpowered. They're intimidated. Just to back up a little bit, the president of Nigeria was supposed to go into that region where those schoolgirls were abducted, and he was supposed to meet with girls, victims, parents or relatives, whatever, and he couldn't go for security reasons. And now CNN is reporting, and they are on record saying that the military, imagine, the whole mighty military of Nigeria is being overpowered by Boko Haram. So it's very sad reading. It's sad news. And what you guys are saying, when the United States wanted to step in and they wanted to offer their assistance and everything else, they said they got it. We've got this. You know, we know what we're doing. But evidently they don't. Evidently they don't. Right now, they've just let the ball. They've lost it right now. It's free fall right now. It's chaotic.
So basically, from what you are saying, Priscilla, and what we are what we are getting from international media networks, I saw a CNN reporter in that same area walking on foot, showing us areas around. Okay, So that guy is not afraid, but the Nigerian military is afraid. But you say, well, you've indicated that you want to say something. Before you say what you want to say, I want you to respond to this question. The impression I'm getting here is that after September 11, terrorist attacks on America, on humanity, and on the world for that matter, it looks like African countries basically didn't do anything about security measures.
Thank you, my friend. That's the reason I even pressed, I wanted just to make my my comment and my view on this thing, Nathan, is since this adoption of children happened, and then, you know, for us who have been here, like who came in this country in the early 80s, and the freedom we enjoyed before, you know, September 11. And now this, it makes me feel like the reason sometimes maybe, this is my point of view, Nathan, maybe the reason that the African countries are so slow in confronting this terrorist groups is because they don't want their people to get informed. They don't want the people to get education. Just like the way we are gathering, the way we are talking, is because we have seen the freedom and how the importance of a person get informed. And, you know, we speak up. And this is a terrorist thing. It's a nothing. To me, it has made me real think about our government, the way they are slow responding is because they like their people not to be informed. They like to control their people. They like to control the women. You know, like this thing of Boko Haram. I mean, the United States has offered the help to, you know, to, for them. If that was me, I would say, you know, I'm 50 now. You know, what I have to lose to confront these people. You know, Nathan, because of time, I'm just going to jump. When Martin Luther King was assassinated, when he listened to that speech, he said, I would like to live, you know, but I'm not going to sit quiet. I'm not going to be afraid of me dying and seeing all this injustice going on. When you see that speech, then you see, man, this was a true leader, you know. And for this, our leader to be a leader today, when the United States Congress, that's one thing that's impressed me with this man of this nation. When the United States Congress stand up and said, even when they are hearing on it, man, it makes you, these guys are not doing this because of they just want to control the people. I mean, these people, they are good at polishing diamonds, you know, they're good to, they can, if Africans didn't want their people, they can say, okay, bring those people in here, we'll educate them, we'll inform them, then, you know, they're not doing this for any, they are doing this because they see that the terrorist group, what they're doing to the children, the terrorist group, what they're doing to the girls, is not,
Here is something else that we need to examine or look at, okay? Like I've said, the IMF, our World Bank, have categorized Nigeria, Egypt, and South Africa as the three countries put together. I think the statistics are showing that they contend for 60% of Africa's economy. Dr. Patrick, that doesn't mean anything if you cannot provide security for your people.
Well, the comparative or direct analysis between Zambia and Nigeria is that, and one of our brothers alluded to it earlier in the earlier program, is that Zambia is dominated with the economics of copper. Nigeria is dominated with the economics of oil. And neither these huge resources, capital resources, are going to the people. That's a major problem. Now, with respect to my sister who mentioned that the Nigerian military were overrun, it's not the Nigeria military. It's the troops that were sent up into the Kanu-Bornu area, into the Kanuri area. And this is what we see and what is happening. It's as if Bill Clinton was sent down to Arkansas to quell an uprising. Now, they would listen to Bill Clinton because he is from Arkansas. However, yes. if President Obama was sent to Arkansas, very few people would listen to him because he's from Illinois. Looking at the president of Nigeria, it's Goodluck Jonathan. He's a southerner. He's from the Ijaw. He is Ijaw from the people of Ijaw in the southern Nigeria. Now, he's traveling all the way up to northeastern Nigeria in an area in which the government of Nigeria has not paid much attention to. So, of course, he's going to get a lot of resistance. And in order for him to be safe, he would have to have half of the Nigerian military going up with him. Now, if it was the Nigerian president that preceded him, Yar'Adua, he's a Fulani. He's from that area. He's in the Hausa Fulani area. That's the northeastern. If they had sent General Sani Abacha, who was one of the heads of state of Nigeria, he's directly from the Kanui area, the Bono area where Boko Haram is. He would not be touched. None of these two leaders, Yar'Adua or Sani Abacha, would be touched. So we have a condition in that area in which the mistrust and the distrust of the civil authority, the military authority, had been in existence for a long period of time, and now someone from the southern part of Nigeria is going to go up there and say, I'm here to help you. There's a lot of mistrust, so that has to be addressed. And as I mentioned earlier in our program last week, those three areas, three points need to be addressed. One is to get rid of that indenture certificate where they make everybody a second-class citizen and lower than that in that area. And they have to return trust to the military and the civil authorities, the police, because they have been conducting major atrocities in that area, and therefore you got the Boko Haram that sprouted out of that. And Roger made a huge, important and salient point, whereas when you have poverty and when you have mistrust of the government, when you have social injustice, political injustice, educational injustice, Roger said there could be a Boko Haram in a district in Zambia. So we need to look at the situation that aroused and that developed and that created this condition, and we can address that condition.
The point you are making, and it takes me to this situation of us zeroing in on one thing. Priscilla, when we have such high-level magnitudes of poverty, shouldn't even security be a major concern for African governments, Priscilla?
Yeah, they are. But then just like the doctor has been articulating very, very, very clearly, the problem are regional. The problem are tribal, the problem are sectarian, and so on and so forth. There are so many vested interests, but right now, that aside, the main issue here, and we shouldn't even divert from the topic here, the main issue is that over 200 of our girls are missing, and God knows where they are, and one militia or rebel group has actually come out and taken ownership, and it has attacked it, and that's why we're talking about it, and that's the crux of our discussion right now. Now, the problem with our governments are, I mean, there are various. what's the way forward? I guess that's what we should be talking about. What is the way forward? There doesn't seem to be any. I've been glued to news since 6 a.m. this morning. I've been listening to CNN, Fox News, and BBC, and even just going online because I'm very interested to know what's going on. We don't seem to be making any progress. As far as the Nigerian government is concerned, they're incapacitated. I don't know. I was very opposed to John McCain's stance, and I was also one of the people that were advocating for him to apologize when he suggested that perhaps someone just needs to go in, take charge, and retrieve those girls, because there just doesn't seem to be any leadership being demonstrated by the Nigerian government right now. And I agree with him. Maybe Jonathan Luck, or what's his name again? Good Luck Jonathan. Maybe he does need help, because he's not demonstrating any leadership.
Are you saying you agree with John McCain's statement?
Right now, as of today, I do.
Okay.
If you were to send, let's say, 100 U.S. soldiers, or as they call foot on the ground, and you send them into the Boko Haram area, in which even the Nigerian military do not know, and those 50 soldiers are massacred, U.S. soldiers are massacred, what would be the response then?
First of all, Doctor, I don't believe that they would be massacred. I don't believe the United States Army is so ill-equipped to the extent where they'll go to war without knowing the logistics, the statistics, and also their whereabouts and exactly what it is that they're doing. I don't think they'll just go into an area without knowing what they're doing. Now, for one to even so much as suggest that the Nigerians do not know the geography and also the demographics of their own country, that's a shame. That's lamentable. I mean, that's laughable. I mean, why would an army of a country not be able to know their geography? Like, I'm a layman. I've never been to every piece and every part of my country, Zambia. But given a chance, I think I would familiarize myself very quickly and know exactly what it is that I'm doing, more so as a soldier. Now, why would a head of state be afraid to send his soldiers to that area? Why?
Well, Sister Priscilla, that's a good submission you are putting on the table. One of the things we talked about last week, I think we identify that Nigeria is the most populous nation in Africa. 150 million people are in Nigeria today. Not only that, Nigeria superseded South Africa in richness.
Exactly my point. So they have the money and the equipment and the resources, correct?
They have the money and the equipment.
My sister, do you remember
To suggest that maybe another nation should do the hard lifting for this populous nation, for this very rich nation, it will be unfair to risk their lives. Maybe America has all the logistics and all the scientific things, but at the end of the line, there's going to be a risk. We are going to be associated to that. Now, to associate other people's military, other people's children, and we ourselves say, no, ours are ill-equipped, they cannot go there. I am thinking we may be unfair to United States or other nations.
No. I agree with you. I mean, we are not imposing this responsibility on America. But at the same time, the world is looking up to Big Brother America, Big Brother Obama, saying they should, you know.
Priscilla, you remember what happened in Somalia? We had a small number of troops that we sent in, and the Somali, there's a movie out called Black Hawk Down.
Mm-hmm.
They did a considerable amount of damage to our soldiers. You remember what happened in Iraq? Remember what's happening in Afghanistan. I mean, we have a huge, I agree, we have a huge military and we have a lot of technology, but it's different when it comes to boots on the ground. So can you imagine what would happen to, if we listened to John McCain and we sent 50 soldiers, 100 soldiers, 200 soldiers to an
area as large as Virginia? Just like we killed Saddam Hussein. How did we kill Saddam Hussein? There was no hoopla. There was no fanfare. We sent in, I mean, America sent in the snipers. Boom. They got rid of them without any incident whatsoever. The Nigerian government has failed. And then all we do is just keep chanting, bring back our girls. For how long? For a month? For a year? Bring back our girls. Come on now. I mean, something has to be done. If the Nigerian government doesn't take responsibility, then someone has to. Someone's got to do.
Here is my point. Here is my argument and the very reason we are having this discussion, holding African governments accountable before Titus comes in. My argument, Dr. Patrick and everyone, is that Nigeria has been dealing with this problem for a long time. Kenya has had those problems with those guys, wherever they are coming from, suspected to be Somali militants, and they are for a long time. Titus, why has it taken the abduction of 300 girls for this situation to be addressed? And then you can say whatever is on your mind, because this problem is not starting with the 300 girls. It's been there, Titus.
Happy anniversary first. And then I think when we look at this situation, we have to retract back to the drawing board. It's very important to look at the families of the people that are directly involved. I think they are the ones that can lead us. They need to be able to come into an agreement to say, okay, this step that you would want to take privately, we are okay with it. Because as you go in, there could be two girls that might be killed. Are they okay to do that? They need to be able to, whoever it is, whether it's a Nigerian, whether it's America, I think it's very important that before you do anything, because if you do something and somebody, let's say half the kids were killed, somebody is going to point the finger at the, whoever made that suggestion to say, you know, maybe you could have waited, maybe you could have taken this direction. So I think it's important to get the consensus of the people directly involved that can say, you know what, I think I'm okay if it will be my daughter that will be killed. From how I feel now and what you're trying to do, I'm okay, go ahead. Proofread that as soon as possible, but you need to go to the drawing board of those people directly involved, and you check in with the Nigerian government, so when they are doing something, they are also content with, they can't get the blame. Even if Obama can start politically getting to the Democrats to say, look at what they are doing. That's why McCain can say anything right now. He's from the other side. If he follows, you can say, well, why did you follow blindly? If you don't do that, he can complain to say, you're not even doing anything. That's how I feel.
That goes to my initial point of you have to ask the government. And Titus, you're 100% correct. Even further than the government, you have to ask the family. You have to be in
the families are the most key, other than even just the government. The families should be able to be okay. And then when something happens and they approve what is about to take place, because it might be successful, it might be successful halfway or whatever, but at least they knew about what is going to be done and they knew the risk about it. Now, when you come, I think Nathan talked about this issue that has been going on, not only with the kids. I would go to the Kenyan situation. I was talking to friends how I feel about all this Al-Shabaab in Kenya. I said I wish I can call Uhuru Kenyatta and tell him that, you know what, you tell the people in Kenya that what I would do myself is that all these Kenyans that are, the Somalians that are Kenyans now, having a good life in Kenya, they need to help out in this Al-Shabaab. If they don't do that, whatever land they have, we're going to get it out and give you land around the border of Kenya and Somalia. So that when there's problems between Kenya and Somalia, it's you guys that are Kenyans here that should suffer, because you can't be just keeping quiet and things are going on. We extended an olive branch, and now you can't just sit and you can't talk to your own people. They need to be able to understand that once we do these funny things to Kenya, it is actually mostly 90% the Kenyans that don't have anything to do with that will lose. They got to have a stake into something like that. That's how I feel, but it might be drastic. But one has to think like that, because it will keep on going. Mombasa, they bombed, this and they did this and that, and you can't kill them, you can't do this. How do you differentiate between somebody who is a Somalian and is not an Al-Shabaab, is doing economic development in Nairobi or Mombasa, and the one that is killing people in Nairobi? So there got to be a collective thing where, you know, the people investing in Kenya, as long as you're Somalian, you know that I would not have that chance if this doesn't stop.
Okay. Thanks. We are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio 5th anniversary special feature on our roundtable discussion. We're looking at holding African governments accountable. Let me also mention to everybody listening that next week we are going to have the two factions from the MMD, those who are for Dr. Mumba and those against Dr. Mumba. I think it's most likely going to be Mulusa versus Imbulakulima or Mohavi Lungu. We will confirm during the week as we go along. Let me read a message here from my friend, the host and producer of Crossfire in the UK. He's on the line, but he cannot participate because of the situation that he is in. And probably I'll let Dr. Munsanje respond to this. Muweti says, part of Africa's unpreparedness against terror attacks is partly because all attacks on the African soil have been targeted at Western interests. Now the terrorists are targeting fellow Africans. Dr. Munsanje, your response to that?
Yes. The response to that for me is not just one word. It is a whole lot of situations. Yes, the terrorists are going to come to our countries in Africa, but how prepared are we to handle them? As we have seen with the Nigerian situation, that can come to Zambia one day. How can we prevent that? From what I understand is that the area where these girls were abducted is underdeveloped. Now, I emphasize on that word, that is underdeveloped. That is a source of conflict. In an area like Zambia, we need to develop places like Ishankombo, and which are and is just an example of one of the areas in Zambia which are very underdeveloped. Otherwise, we risk to have the same thing that has happened in Nigeria happen in Zambia one day. It may not be next year. It may be 10 years from now. But if we don't prepare, we don't develop our areas, we don't go against tribalism, nepotism, and all the vices that bring conflict in this world, we are not preparing ourselves to handle that situation. We should be talking about arms.
Cut you right there. Dr. Munsanje, let me cut you right there. And you see, that's exactly one of the major issues which has been the way this thing has been analyzed. The area where Baka or Koram or wherever operates, underdeveloped. You remember our Nigerian brother last week? He gave us a scenario. You see, that's why I let a friend from Nigeria speak, so that you give us the scenario happening in that area. Underdeveloped, extremely poor area. There's really no infrastructure. You see, on this forum, we've spoken to different government leaders, especially from our country. I need to bring in a colleague here, and let me also clarify my point that the statement I read is not from Muweti. I apologize. It's from Joshua Ngoma. He's been on this forum before. He's written two powerful books, which everybody needs to read. Ngoma, Africa, anybody you talk to in Africa, Roger, you bear witness to me on this. You and I have been together for a long time. Africa, Ngoma, they will not give you statistics on unemployment. They will not give you proper figures on anything. Now we have the CEO and chairman of a mine, a fool in Zambia, bragging about how much he bought the mine for and how much he has made out of this. What is it going to take to get our government to put their act together, Ngoma?
Good morning, Brother Nathan, and all the panelists and the people that are participating this morning. It's a very interesting subject that we're dealing with this morning. And I think that to deal with the issue of, for instance, investment that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
I cannot, in as terrible as it comes out to be, when we listen to the owner of Vendetta Company, PLC, the owners of KCM, brag like that. That was a business deal, and I think that he was pretty lucky to get a mine that huge, probably the largest open pit mine in Africa for $25 million. It was a good business deal on his part, but extremely sad on our leaders that could give away such a huge enterprise for $25 million. So then the whole issue rests on our leaders and the kind of decisions that they are making, whether it be in the selling of our assets in terms of foreign direct investment, and also in things like security that we're talking about, like specifically the Nigerian issue where more than 200 of our girls have gone missing. I think there are a lot of internal politics that actually do not favor the local person on the ground, whether it be in the area of investment or in the area of protecting our citizens from what's happening in Nigeria or Kenya. I think that the first blame should be on the African leader before we bring in the West and the investors that come. I think there will be enough blame for everybody, but I think that squarely our first responsibility is ours as Africans and African leaders.
Mm. You see, here is the point, Dr. Chongo, if you are able to comment on this, here is the way I'm looking at things. Okay, the question on the table now is, what is the way forward? Okay, Dr. Chongo, should we stand by the sidelines as citizens and see our government use security forces, police, to harass their political opponents and the journalists? How long is this going to go on?
I think we shouldn't stand on the sideline for sure, because it's our country, and we need, one, the education. What does it mean to belong to a party? What is a political party? You know, the young people, they are just, you know, they are hungry, and the politicians are using that poverty as a weapon to safeguard themselves. You know, these kids are hungry. If we give them beer, they will go and drink, and they will make noise on our behalf, and we remain in the office. You know, it's not surprising that, you know, Kabimba can start campaigning this time around when the elections are in 2016. That means that they don't care about development. They just care about themselves being in the office. He put it very publicly. And you see, like someone has mentioned, if we think of the terrorists and the rural places, no one will think of protecting the rural place. Because usually we think of protection as protection for infrastructure only. But do we ever think of protecting life? And that's what has happened to Nigeria there. No one was thinking about life, you know, because there's no big factory, there's no what. But the areas, you are aware, very much aware, there might be a police post where there's only one policeman in a rural place. And he might not even have a car. I work in a rural place where when I call the police, they say, can you drive and come and pick me up to bring him to the school, you know, where I was sitting. So you can think of such situations. There's no protection for life. We should be thinking about life, and it can be looked at from the point of view of that. What type of life will our children live 8 years from now? You know, we're looking at life. And so that we put in place the things that will sustain good economies for our communities and, you know, the culture. What type of culture are we going to grow with? And we shouldn't be thinking that terrorism is just for the developed countries, against the Europeans. Because it's coming. We are seeing it. It's coming in Africa. It's there. You know, so we are supposed to catch everyone. When we go to vote, let's look at someone who wants to do something for life. Who cares for life? Not just for things and materials or caring for themselves, but someone who cares for life. What is life? Does he understand that? And so we can improve life by doing a lot of things. Education is there to improve life. Health and safety are there to improve life. The economic growth is there to improve life. So if life is the center, we will value it and put things in place. No one should just be a fan. We should be participants in all this. I congratulate the radio, Zambia Talk Radio, for touching, you know, issues that are quite sensitive, but freely and courageously they are discussed on this radio blog. So we are supposed to be like that. Everyone should just be sensitized to say this is our country and do the best for life, for today and tomorrow.
Thank you, Dr. Chongo. This is what I'm thinking, and I'm saying to myself, Priscilla, like I've said, the World Bank and IMF are saying Egypt, Nigeria, and South Africa, three largest economies. What does that translate into if they are not able to provide security? My key word here is security. They are not able to provide basic security to the citizen. Our friend from Nigeria, his name is Obi, he told us that area where this guy is operating in Nigeria, there's no formal border, Rangoma. People just walk up and down. That's why it's difficult. So, Priscilla, what does the essence of Nigeria, Egypt, South Africa being the largest economies in Africa, what does it translate into if it doesn't provide security to the citizens?
Nathan, it's a wake-up call, not only for Nigeria, but for Africa as a whole. Just like Dr. Monsanje said, that it can happen to the best or the least of us in Africa. Looks like what Boko Haram did was to target the least developed area, and they apparently took advantage of the fact that there's no infrastructure, there's no well-meaning structure to begin with. But at the same time, that's where the international assistance comes in. With Nigeria, America did offer assistance to begin with, right at the beginning, just like the doctor stated. They said, can we help? And the Nigerian government said, no, we got this. And the American government, you know, sat back because, I mean, Nigeria is a sovereign country, and then you just can't barge in and you just can't invade them just like that. And then they just allowed the situation to go. They need help. At this time, they need help, and they've got the help that they need, but it just seems like it's not sufficient enough. It's not sufficient enough. And like I'm saying, there's no way you can have an army in a country and not know your geography, not know your logistics, and not know your demographics. Does this go to show that that area was neglected? Just like Roger Charlie keeps on saying, like we have Lusaka. It's like Lusaka is the main city, or that's the only city in Zambia. You know, that now comes in. So when now an area where Boko Haram has taken advantage and now they're doing whatever they want to do and they're reigning like kings, it's the same thing with Zambia. It's the same thing. They're handicapped. They can't do anything. Why? Because there's no infrastructure there. They can't even go in. It's like they've taken over that city or area, whatever you want to call it. It's a very good wake-up call for every African nation right now. It's a wake-up call.
That's a very good statement right there. Roger, what is the way forward? The statement I put on the floor is Egypt, South Africa, Nigeria, three largest economies. What does that mean if you can't provide security for your people? What's the way forward? Roger, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry. I was talking to myself. the first thing we have on the table is we have to find these girls. And the lessons which we have learned from here, like your question has really pointed to, the Zambian government or the African government, they will ignore this issue to their own peril. They will ignore this issue to their own destruction. And even as the citizenry, we are going to ignore this issue which has happened in Nigeria to our own destruction. The way forward is to begin to address a lot of these small issues. Again, Priscilla said about it, and other people have talked about it. How can you not know a region in your own area? Meaning that you don't know if there is a bridge in that area, meaning that you don't know if there is a good road in that area, meaning that you don't even know where to go. So if someone came in Shangombo and organized the people there, the Zambian government will not even know where to begin from. It is a big wake-up call. As we look for these girls and find these girls, we should draw attention to our own situation in Zambia.
Mm-hmm. Dr. What is the way forward? Everybody, just keep it to under 1 minute. We are winding down here. What is the way forward? Because to me, if you say Egypt, South Africa, Nigeria are the three largest economies, what is it translating to if Nigerian government army doesn't know the northern part of the country? The infrastructure? What is the way forward, Dr. Munsanje?
I think we need to address a number of issues that have actually transpired that causes this to happen. This did not just happen from the blues. Like I mentioned earlier on, there's a lot of underdevelopment. So I'm trying to focus is how can we in Zambia avoid such a situation? It almost happened several years ago when Mushala started terrorizing people in the northwestern province. It is almost the same. The way forward is for the government to keep listening to the people and to take development to all areas of the country, regardless of who is living there.
Excellent. Titus, what is the way forward under 1 minute?
I think we have to also consider what are these people demanding. I think I haven't heard too much of talking about that. I don't know whether we feel like that's giving in or what, because I think it's part of, I don't know, the politics. Maybe if they release the commandos, that's easier to deal with the government. Whatever they want to release, and then they deal with whatever later on. Maybe that would aid us into releasing these children safely.
Mm. So it's really interesting here and amazing. I'm going to bring in Matilda to sort of, if you want to have the last word on this matter. On everything that we are saying or we have said, Matilda, I don't know what your what your views are on everything that we are saying here. Okay, Dr. Chongo, what is the way forward?
Just a quick one to that question Titus has asked here. What do these people really want? These people are, in my view, Titus, have only taken advantage of the situation they are in. They want anything? Probably yes. They want their area to be developed. They might not say that. They want a Muslim Islamic law to be the rule of the land there. They want Islamic law to no education for this. But all those are scapegoats. The areas have been neglected for a long time, and now they can bring in that vacuum. They are bringing in their own ideology and their own thinking.
Yeah, it's true. But Hilda, are you there? Okay. It's a very dicey situation, and I know that, you see, I just thought that we should take time and look at it from the angle that we have looked at it from. Because, you see, Nigeria has known about this problem. This problem has been there for years. It didn't start with the abduction of the 300 girls. The situation Kenya is dealing with has been there for years. We can mention other different countries. My observation is African governments use their security forces to clamp on journalists and political opponents. Please stop that.
Yes.
Stop that.
Why and grow the cabinet.
Let's cut back on cabinet. Our priorities are wrong. And for everybody listening there, please, we are not just talking about Zambia. We're talking about every African country. It's a common tendency. It's a trend. Look at the top heavy government officials and what is going on there. It's a simple thing. Take a bunch of security forces. Talk to the American government. Let them train them to be special forces or intelligence officers. Why are you using your intelligence to follow your political opponent? Is that what security is about? Please. We are not going to stand by the sidelines and just keep looking and saying, oh, well, we are not going to be talking the language, people, of waiting for the next election. That's not the solution. We need to address issues as they go along. The Nigerian government, this is a global problem of these children. They need to be returned, and they need to step up to the plate and take action. The issue of saying Barack Obama responded 3 weeks after that, you can't expect America to come and solve. If my kids are sleeping hungry, I'm not going to say this is Roger's problem. It's my problem. The Nigerian government needs to step up to the plate and address this issue. This has been our
discussion. Can I say something, Nathan?
Under 30 seconds?
Yeah, under 30 seconds. All I can say is that at the point where we are at right now, I mean, enough is enough. Some very serious matters, some serious actions need to be done. Someone needs to go into Nigeria, someone who's able to do that, and go and take those children out. Because, I mean, talk, it's not doing anything. The Americans or whoever, the Russians, the Chinese, or whoever needs to go in, because apparently, evidently, Nigeria has failed. Someone needs to go in and take those children away.
What you are saying is this is also my position, and I know I'm going to offend people, step on people's toes. I don't care. We can have all the protests, the marches. You can show up. You can even put it as your profile picture, bring back. It's not going to solve any problem. America has sacrificed its sons and daughters and children for years by sending them in the war front. Government needs to step up and send forces in there, do whatever it takes. This has been our show today. Next week, I'll be talking to the MMD factions, those who want Dr. Mumba out as president and those that are supporting him. That's going to be our special show next week. I want to thank my colleagues and my friends for a great 5 years that we've been together, and we look forward to doing this again. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stand up to your feet. Let's hold our government accountable.